Sporadic violence continues to plague Afghanistan. Not even Kabul, where more than 4,000 peacekeepers have been deployed, is immune. Last week, Afghanistan's interim government faced one of its greatest challenges yet, with the murder of one of its cabinet ministers. The government is trying to downplay the incident, but it is further proof that the country remains, in the words of its leader, Hamid Karzai, in intensive care. NPR's John Burnett reports from Kabul.
At the funeral over the weekend, Hamid Karzai appealed to Afghans to abandon the oppression of the gun and force of the knife. The strange death of Aviation and Tourism Minister Abdul Rahman last Thursday at Kabul's bomb-scarred airport was a reminder that 23 years of war do not melt away easily. According to a Western diplomat familiar with the crime, Rahman had boarded an Ariana State Airlines jetliner, which was to take him to New Delhi. A group of 10 to 12 men stormed the plane, stabbed and beat Rahman, then threw his body onto the runway, either alive or dead, no one is sure. There, a crowd of pilgrims, enraged over their frigid two-day wait for a flight to Saudi Arabia, further beat the 49-year-old minister. Then came the bombshell. The government announced the killers were top security and defense officials of Karzai's own administration. So far, five have been detained, three are being extradited from Saudi Arabia, and two more are being sought for questioning. Information Minister Syed Rahim, however, dismisses rumors of a political conspiracy within the cabinet.
If it was something political, so certainly it would have been a very tremendous damage. But now it's something personal. We can say that it's not that bad. But of course it was sad.
But in fractured, blood-feuding Afghanistan, the personal is the political. All of the murder suspects belong to Jamiat-e-Islami, a political party composed mainly of ethnic Tajiks. Rahman, though a Tajik, had defected from Jamiat and joined the rival Pashtuns in support of exiled King Zahir Shah. Some observers wonder, is this the first move by Tajiks in Karzai's cabinet of a mafia-style takeover, or is it an isolated case of adversaries settling an old score? Former Kabul University Law School Dean Faizullah Jalal says Rahman's death is clearly bad for Karzai. If they cannot establish peace and security among themselves, he asks in exasperation, how can they expect the country to do the same? But out in the raucous streets of Kabul, where legless war veterans spit foul streams of tobacco juice and boys crowd CD kiosks to gape at voluptuous Indian pop stars, the mood is more optimistic. Mohammed Youssef owns a shop that sells oval lambskin hats peculiar to this part of the world.
Look, the situation is getting better compared to the Taliban era. We want peace and security in the interim government. I think Abdul Rahman was killed for personal reasons or by people angry that they couldn't go to the Hajj. I don't think that this incident has destabilized the government.
A Western diplomat in Kabul who spoke on background believes Karzai has, under the circumstances, handled the crisis well. First, he quickly fingered the suspects and announced arrests instead of covering up. Secondly, and perhaps more important, he arranged for commercial jetliners from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and England to carry the thousands of still furious pilgrims on to Mecca. The whole country was watching, said the diplomat, and the government could not afford to blow this one. But, he added, steel yourself for more bad news. Maybe the killing of a peacekeeper, maybe worse. There will be more tests to come. John Burnett, NPR News, Kabul.